Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Dalet. We are holding on daf Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, via Ma'amar Al Menashe from Yimishar. It's about 10, 12 lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, and his wife and children, leading this for his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleh Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. It is also sponsored in honor of the marriage last night of Ariella Newman to Eitan Suss, and it is also sponsored in memory of Philip Alzum, Pinchas Ben Shalom, whose 13th yahrzeit is today, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah, and we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to explain the opinions in our Mishnah about when you can go straight to the Arev, and when you need to go first to the Lova before going to the Arev. And we're going to distinguish between two types of Arev. There's a regular Arev, and there's what's called an Arev Kablan, which has a different set of rules. Then the Gemara is going to explain the halachic ramification of the fact that we consider the nechasim of the lova, the properties of the lova, to be like an arev, that if the lova doesn't have any money, doesn't have any cash to pay back, so you can go to his properties, and in a certain sense, we consider that to be an arev. We consider the properties to be an arev. So there's a halachic nafkamina to considering them to be an arev. The Gemara is then going to discuss two different reasons why an Arev should not pay back on behalf of the Yisomim of the Lova if the Lova dies without first consulting with them, and the Nafkamina between those two reasons not to pay back on behalf of the Yisomim of the Lova. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss an Arev for a deceased Lova if the Malva is an Oved Kuchavim. What if the Lova dies and the Malva is an Akum? So is there any different assumptions that one makes? And then the Gemara is going to get into details about what the Mishnah had mentioned, the trick that one might want to try to do of getting divorced and remarried just to be able to collect the ksuba money from the arev, meaning the husband doesn't have any money and he knows that there's an arev on his ksuba, so if he gets divorced, the wife will be able to collect all the ksuba money from the arev, and then they'll get remarried, and whether this works and who it certainly does not work for. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about a guy who, when he's dying, admits that he owes money to somebody, and the rest of his money is either going to his children like a regular case or is going to Hegdish. So what assumptions do we make about that admission on his deathbed? So let's begin at the two dots on Daf Kufayim Gimel Amud Beis. V'Amar Al Menashe Ephraim Mimi She'erza. So we said in the Mishnah that if the guy says Al Menas, that I should be able to get paid from whoever I want, whether it be the Lova or whether it be the Arev, then he can go to the Arev. But Rabbi Shmuel Neil says no, if the Lova has an Chasim, you're never allowed to go to the Arev first. Apparently, even if you say Al Menashe from Misharity, even if you say that I should be able to go to whoever I want to go to, if the Lova has an chasim, you always go to the Lova first, Shmuel Gamliel says. So Gemara says, Amr Rab Bar Bechana, Amr Rab Yochanan, Lo Shanu, El Shein Chasim Lelova, Aval Yesh Chasim Lelova, Lo Yipar Min Ha'arev, that the Tanakama says, that when the Tanakama says, that if a guy says Al Menashe from Misharitza, that he can go to the Arev, that's only if the Lova doesn't have money, if the Lova doesn't have properties. But if the Lova has properties, the Tanakama holds you need to always go to the Lova first and not go to the Arev. So frankly, that's the Tanakama's opinion. Isn't that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion? From the fact that the Seifa says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Im yesh nechasim lelova, lo yipara min ha'arev. That it's Dafka Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who says that if the Lova has nechasim, you don't get paid from the Arev. Mechlal, the Tanakama savar, lo shnahachi. It sounds like the Tanakama who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that it doesn't make a difference, that there's no chiluk between the case where you have nechasim and the case where he doesn't have nechasim. The Malva can always collect from the Arev against the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So says the Gemara, chisuri mechzra v'hachi katani. You have to say that the Mishnah is missing a key line. And when we add this line into the Mishnah, it's all going to make sense. And here's how it goes. Hamalves chaveru al yidei arev. A person lends money and there's an arev involved. Lo yipara mina arev. Don't get paid from the arev. You got to go to the lova first. V'im amar al menas she'er from mimi she'eritza. But if he makes it tonight at the very time of the loan, then I should be able to collect from whoever I choose to collect from. Yipara mina arev. Then you can collect from the arev. So that's exactly what we have so far in our Mishnah as well. But here's where the change comes. Bamed var mamurim. When do we say that if you made this tonight that you can go to the arev b'she'in nuchasim lalove? That's only if the love doesn't have any nuchasim. Aval yesh nuchasim lalove lo yipara mina arev. But if the love has nuchasim, then you absolutely may not go to collect from the arev. And that is exactly how Rabbi Yochanan explained the shita of the Tanakama. And we then have to add v'kablon. And if it's an arev kablon, even if you did not make this tonight, that I should be able to collect from whoever I want to collect from. Even if the lova has nechasim, you can go straight to an arev kablan. So that's the shita of the Tanakama. That yes, you're allowed to, when you make a tanai, that you should be able to collect from whoever you want to collect from, you still have to go to the arev first. But if it's an arev kablan, then you're allowed to go to you still have to go to the lova first, but when it's an arev kablan, then you can go to the arev first. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, im yesh nechasim lova, echad zeh lo yipar mehen, that if the lova has nechasim, then even an arev kablan, you don't go to first. You always go to the lova first. So if you add these details into the Mishnah, it turns out that the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel agree in a regular Arev situation that you cannot collect from the Arev when the Lova has Nechasim. The whole Machlokas is about an Arev Kablan, that an Arev Kablan is a stronger type of an Arev, that according to the Tanakama, the Malva can collect from him even if there's the Lova has Nechasim, and according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, even with an Arev Kablan, you got to go to the Lova first, you cannot go to the arev. So that's the whole machlokas. The whole machlokas is dafka bein arev kablan, where the Tanakama would say you can go directly to the arev kablan, and Rav Shimon Gamliel would say no. Even by an arev kablan, you may not go directly to the arev kablan. You got to go straight to the lova first, and only then, if the lova doesn't have any money, only then do you turn to the arev kablan. So says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Baruch Chanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol makom shashan Rav Shimon Gamliel mishasenu alacha kamoso chutz may arev tzitzon v'rayachrona. So how do we pass in this machlokas about an arev kablan? So we know that we have a rule that whenever Rav Shimon Gamliel appears in our Mishnah, we always pass in like Rav Shimon Gamliel against other tanaim, with only three exceptions, and one of them is arev. The only exceptions are arev kablan and raya achrona. This is only b'mishnah seinu. The Rashbam points out this klal only works in Mishnayis. This klal is not true of Brisos. And the Yad Ramah also points out that it's not really a full-fledged klal. We don't pass on like Rav Shimon Gamliel unless the Sugyas HaGemara goes like him. But in other places, we don't pass on like him, and he brings rayas from throughout Shas. So this, there are stronger klalim and weaker klalim. This one has a few weaknesses to it, but the bottom line is, what we're trying to say is that we do not pass on Rav Shimon Gamliel. What are these three cases of Arev, Tzidon, and Raya Achrona? So Arev is the machlokas in our Mishnah. Can the Malva collect from an Arev Kablan if the Lova has Nechasim? So we don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, we pass like the Tanakama, that yes, you can go straight to the Arev Kablan even if the Lova has Nechasim. The Malva is allowed to collect straight from the Arev Kablan. Tzidon is a discussion in Maseches Gittin, that a guy is Megarish his wife and he makes it tonight that the Gerishin should be Chal if she gives him back a particular Beged that he really likes, and the problem is the Beged is lost. So Tanakama says she's unable to fulfill the Tanai by giving the value of the Beged. The whole Gerishin is therefore going to be invalidated because she's unable to fulfill the Tanai of the get. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says, well, he wanted his favorite suit back, so if his suit costs $500, let her give him $500, and that's it. That will be fine. You don't have to find his favorite suit. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says that there was a Maisa in the city of Tzidon where the Baal made such a Tanai at the time that he was Megarish's wife, and the Beged was lost, and the Chum said that she should give the Demei HaBeged, and the Gerishin would be Chal. So we're saying, yeah, we don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, we pass like Tanakama, that the Gerishin is batal because she's not able to fulfill that tonight. And what's the case of Raya Achrona? So that's the sugya in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Aleph. So we're getting ready for a Sanhedrin. So we're going to see this sugya in about a month from now, that a person comes to Beis Din and they tell him, bring whatever edim you got, bring whatever raya you got. And he says, I don't have any edim, I don't have any raya. And then at some later date, he brings edim or he brings a raya. So Tanna Kamma says, he already said he doesn't have, so we're not mekabel those edim or the raya, because he was moda that he doesn't have. Whereas Meshugam Liel says, no, now he has, so now we should be mekabel them, because it could be that at the time he thought he doesn't have any edim or rayas, but then someone who saw something or who knew something came forward, and that's perfectly fine. So since there's also a machlokes in the prior Mishnah about something that relates to Raya, so we paskin like, and over there we paskin like Rav Shmuel Liel, so we call this Raya Achrona, because there are two Mishnahs in a row where we have cases relating to Raya, so this is the case relating to Raya, where Rav Shmuel Liel argues with Tanna Kamma, but the Achrona one, the second one, so that's why it's called Raya Achrona. So those are the three exceptions where we do not paskin like Rav Shmuel Liel. Now, Rav Huna explains what lashon of one would need to use in order to establish himself as an Arif Kablan. Meaning, now that we just said that there are two tracks of Arifus, there's being a regular Arif and there's being an Arif Kablan, how does one go about being an Arif Kablan? What do you need to say in order to be this more this more serious form of Arif? Some Rav Huna, Halveu Vani Arif. If you say to somebody, lend Ploni money and I'll be the Arif, or Halveu Vani Pare, you lend the money, I'll pay back. Halveu Vani Chayiv, you lend the money and I'll take responsibility. You lend the money and I'll give it. So kulan lashon arvus, and that's just regular arvus, because you said halva'a, you said lend him money. So that's just a regular lashon of a regular halva'a, that's a regular arvus. But if you say tein lo vani kablan, you didn't say lend him money, you said give him and I'll be a kablan. Or tein lo vani prolei, tein lo vani chayiv, tein lo vani etein, kulan lashon kablan asein. Since you did not say lashon of halva'a, you said a lashon of nesina, it's as if the malva is doing the shlichus of the arev to give the money to the lova, al das, that the arev is going to pay it. And the chiv of the arev is even in a case where the lova would have nechasim, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, which again we paskin like, we don't paskin like Shulam Liel. So again, Tanakhama held that what makes an arev kablan more responsible is that even if the lova has nechasim, you can go straight to the arev if he's an arev kablan. So the key chilik between a regular arev and arev kablan is, did you use the lashon of hilveyu or did you use the lashon of tainlo? So now the Gemara says, ibayilu hilveyu vatni kablon. What if you start by saying hilveyu, which is the lashon of regular arev, but then you say, and I'll be a kablon? So you said the word kablon explicitly. Or tainlo, which sounds like kablon, and you said vatni arev, but then you finish the sentence, so it's like a stira minei ubei within the phrase. So my, what would be the din? Do we assume that it's based on the lashon of halva'a or nesina alone? So as soon as you said halveyu, you are a regular arev, and even though you said vani kablan, we don't listen to that. Or when you said tainlo, you're becoming a kablan, and even though you said vani arev, we don't listen to that. Or is it based on, you know, what you actually said explicitly is either arev or kablan, and we do listen to that? So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Lashon Arvus, Arvus, Lashon Kablanos, Kablanos. That when you use the term Arvus, it must mean regular Arvus. When you use the term Kablanos, it must mean regular Kablanos. Meaning, an even greater indicator of whether you want to be an Arev, or a regular Arev, or a Kablan, an even greater indicator than whether you said Halveyu or Tainlo, is whether you said Arev or Kablan. Right? When you say Arev or Kablan, then it's very, very clear what you actually mean. So Gemara says, Rav Chista, Amar Rav Chista disagrees with these clubs. And he says, Kulan Lashon Kablanosain, Bar Me Halveu Vani Arev, that all of the Lashonos that have a Lashon of Kablanos, of Teinlo, Vani Kablan, Vani Parea, they're all Lashon of Kablan, even if you say, also, even if you also add in a Lashon of regular Arvos, since the Mashmalos is that you're going to pay the Malva before the Lova. Before any claim is ever made against the Lova, Bar Me Halveu Vani Arev, unless you use a double Lashon that both means Arev, meaning we always assume Kablan unless both halves of your sentence are specific, are Arev specific. So Halveu is the strongest Lashon of Arev, Vani Arev is the strongest Lashon of Arev. So only that combination of Halveu Vani Arev means regular Arev. Short of that, Everything else will be kablan. Teino v'ani arev, halveu v'ani kablan, or anything else, any other combination is going to be kablan. Rava amar, kulon loshon arvus hein. Rava says, no, we assume it's all loshon arvus, bar mi teino v'ani nosein, except for teino v'ani nosein, or for that matter, teino v'ani kablan, except for when both halves of the sentence are indicating kablanos, that you need both parts of the sentence to indicate kablanos in order for it to be kablan. Amrle mar bar amemar l'ravashi, hachi omar abba. Mar bar amemar said, my father amemar said that an arif who says tein lo vanino sein, which is a lashon of kablanos, it's as if the malva gives the kesef to the lova with the shlichus of the arif, and therefore in the malva ala lova klum. You can't even be tovea the lova. You can only be tovea the arif because he's the one that asked for the money, right? Tein lo, give him the money, means I'm making you my shliach to give him the money, which means I'm the one that owes you the money. I'm just telling you not to give it to me, to give it to him instead. So you have no taina on the actual lova. The only taina you're going to have is going to be on the arev. Velohi says, that's not actually true. We don't paskin like what Mar Bar Amemar says in the name of Amemar. Lomiftar lova mine de malva ashi yisavit in biyad. The lova is never going to be potter from the chiyuv to the malva unless the arev actually borrows the money himself, physically takes the money, and he's the one that hands it over to the lova. Then, in a chinami, the lova's got nothing to do with the malva. The malva gave the money to the arev, and the arev is the one that handed it over to the lova. So then the whole business deal is only between the malva and the arev, and the lova is totally out of the picture. But if the arev just said, you, Malva, give the money to this Lova, so then he can go collect from the Lova himself. Okay, so that's the all the different shitos about when someone becomes an arev and when a person becomes an arev kablan. So now the Gemara tells a story which is going to also reflect some of these dinim of an arev. Ha'u dayana ta'achte l'malva l'nichse d'lova mikami d'litbe l'lova. There was a dayan that allowed the malva to go to the lova's nechasim before he was ever toveya the lova himself to pay the chov. I mean, he right away went to the lova's property and confiscated the property, took the field away from the lova without ever asking the lova, hey, you owe me $100,000. Do you have the cash? Do you have the money? Can you transfer? Can you wire the money into my account? Without ever asking that, he just went to his field and he confiscated the field. The dayan enabled the confiscation of the field from the lova. So Salke Rav Chanan Bered Rav Yeva. Rav Chanan Bered Rav Yeva fired him from being a dayan because that was totally irresponsible. That's not what you're supposed to do. So Amar Rava, when Rava heard this, he said, Man chakim lemevr kiyam milsa, who else is as wise to fire a dayan over such a mistake? Ilav Rav Chanan Bered Rav Yeva, if not for Rav Chanan Bered Rav Yeva. So he explains, kasavar, because he holds nichse de barinish, a person's nechas, meaning a person's real estate, a person's real properties, inun ma'arvin yasei, in a certain sense, they are like the person's arev. Utinan, hamalvas chaveh odeyar, v'lo yipar min ha'arev. And the Mishnah says that if you're malvas chaveh odeyar, that if you lend money to somebody and there is an arev, you cannot go to the arev first. You need to go to the lova first. And we paskin that you're not allowed to go to the arev first. You have to go to the lova first because you can't just bother the arev to pay it if the lova himself might be willing to pay it. So similarly, you can't be mezalzel in the lova and go take away his nechasim before you ever went to see if he's willing to pay it, if he has the ability to pay it from cash. So Mela, this dayan that did so, that went to the real estate of the lova to confiscate it before they ever asked the lova if he has the money, he violated the halacha in our Mishnah, and therefore he's deserving of being fired as a dayan. So even though there's really only one party over here, it's a malva and a lova, there was no arev, but since we say that the mechasim of a lova are like an arev, so they're like an arev in that sense, that they have a din, that you can't go straight to the nechasim of the lova, you first have to go to the lova himself. The Rishonim struggle a little bit with the Achronim. How could we compare an arev, which is a different person than the lova himself, to the nechasim that belong to that very same lova. What difference does it really make if he gives cash or you collect from his nechassim? So Chidush Arim writes that the mitzvah of Prias Balchov is a chiv on the lova himself to be mekayim his chiv and to pay up his chov. It's just that if he doesn't pay miritzono, so then we go and we collect his nechassim that are an arev on his behalf, that the malva was somechan. But l'chadchila, the lova would prefer to do the mitzvah begufo and to pay his chov, and therefore you're not allowed to collect from his nechassim, meaning you're robbing him of the opportunity to do a mitzvah. If you go straight to his nechassim, then he didn't do the mitzvah of Prias Balchov. Mitzvah of Prias Balchov is something that's on him to do. It just happens to be that in order to protect the malva, there's a shiba nechassim, so you can go and collect from the nechassim. So that's the difference. And Muka Yosef explains that the reason that he was fired is because he was afraid that just like he made a mistake in this din, he's going to make a mistake in other dinim as well. However, Chidush Arim wonders that we don't find the dayan who makes one mistake one time is fired. Adrabah, we find a lot of tanam and amoraim that everybody's human, right? Everybody makes mistakes, right? No matter how chashuv the rabbi is, no matter what, meaning everybody makes mistakes at some point. So we find a lot of Tanaim and Amoraim that admitted to mistakes that they made. The sugya in Becharos Daf Chav Ches, the Rabbi Tarfon was Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. He originally wanted to say that. He wants to say that in a place where the Toa is because you don't know the halacha, then you don't fire a person. It's only if the Toa is totally in Svara that we fire the person, because then we see he doesn't think straight. So Chisar Yedia shows that the Toa in Svara shows that the person is not a Gavar Rabba, but he says still we don't find for one mistake that we're going to fire a person, and therefore the Muki Yosef explains that since Rabbi Chanan was in that same place and he was greater than that Dayan, he should have asked Rabbi Chanan, and that's unforgivable. Meaning when you have someone greater than you, if you don't know what you're talking about, so then it's forgivable to make a mistake. But if you know that there are other people that are greater than you, right, that happens all the time. You have someone who's, let's say, not such an experienced Mesader Kiddushin, and he knows that there are going to be other rabbanim there, so he'll ask, look over my shoulder and let me know if anything if anything goes wrong, right? So that's a responsible thing to do. But if a person just doesn't do that, so then that's an unforgivable mistake. So that's why the dayan was fired. So says the Chidush Arim. Okay, so says Gemara now, who Arva Diasmi? There was a person who was an Arev on a Chov in a Shtar, and the Lova died, and he left Yisomim. Depari in the Malva, Mekami de Ladin Eliasmi, that the Arev paid the Chov to the Malva before he let the Yisomim know that he was going to pay it. So the Arev was Tovea from the Yisomim that they should pay him back, right? Meaning I paid your Chov for you, so now you got to pay me back. Now, if he would have let the Yisomim know, maybe they would have paid the Chov on their own, Tosus points out. But he didn't let the Yisomim know. He just went and paid on behalf of the Yisomim. So the Lova was dead. The Yisomim now owed the money, and he went and he paid. The Arev went and paid on behalf of the Yisomim. So Amar Rav Papa says the Yisomim do not need to reimburse the Arev, because the chiyuv for them to pay the Arev is a chiyuv balpeh without a shtar, and Prius Balchov, the din of paying a chov balpeh to a malva or to the Arev that's tovea them is not a chiyuv mamon that's incumbent upon them. Prias Balchov mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Hin Tzedek Yelahem, where the Gemara Darshan's in Mesachs Bar Mitzia, that Hin Shalachem Tzedek, that when you say yes, it has to mean a yes. So therefore, they have to be Mekayim, there is Chayvus, and pay the Chov. But V'yas Milav B'nei Mav Mitzvah Ninu, Yisomim Ketanim, these are kids under the age of Bar Mitzvah. They're not Chayv in Mitzvahs yet. So if it were a din in Mammon, so they're Shibudim in Mammon, that their property is Meshubar, and they would have, but it's only a din in a mitzvah, so they're not Chayv in Mitzvahs yet, so therefore only after they become bar mitzvah will you be able to be toveya them for the money. That's how the Rashbam explains it. Since right now they're ketanim, they're not chayiv mitzvahs enough to pay. However, the Ramban writes that the mitzvah is to be parea the chov to the malva. And since the yorshim were not chayiv in the kiyum of that mitzvah, and that mitzvah was mutal on the arev as well, we say that when the arev went and paid the malva without letting the yisom know, he wanted to be mekayim the mitzvah, and he was pattering the yorshim entirely. Meaning the way the The way the Rashbam understands is a Priyas Palchov mitzvah is the chiyuv of the Yisomim to reimburse the Arev is a mitzvah. The way the Ramban understands is no, Priyas Palchov mitzvah is the payment that goes to the Malva is a mitzvah, but by the Arev jumping the gun and taking that mitzvah, he was saying, oh, I'll do this mitzvah, so you guys don't have to do this mitzvah. And therefore, even when they become bar mitzvah, he cannot be toveya them because he took it upon himself. Meaning, the way the Rashbam understands, it's just that it's a technicality. Right now, they're not yet responsible, but when they become bar mitzvah, they'll pay him back. The way the Ramban understands is even when they become bar mitzvah, they're going to be pater because the Arev decided to jump on the opportunity. Rav Huna Ben Rav Shua disagrees with Rav Papa, and he says another reason that the Yisomim do not have to pay the Arev. Rav Huna Ben Rav Shua Amar Emar Tzrari Atvasi. The reason that the Yisomim do not have to pay the Arev is we assume that maybe the Lova, while he was still alive, remember there are Yisomim now, the Lova is dead, but maybe while the Lova was still alive, he gave bundles of money to the Malva that equals the amount of his chov, so that if he dies, the Arev is not going to have to pay it. And since the Yisomim are Ketanim right now, and they're not able to clarify such a Taina or to even put forth such a Taina, the Arev is not able to be Toveya them until they get older. So the Gemara explains the Chilik between these two approaches, between that of Rav Papa and that of Rav Huna Ben Rav Shua. My Benayu, what's the difference between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Ben Rav Shua as far as Halach is concerned? They both say that the Arev is not allowed to collect from Yisomim so long as the Yisomim are Ketanim. Nafkamina between them is when the Lova was Moda right before he died, that he still owes the money to the Malva. So he says, I didn't give money to the Malva. So according to Rav Huna, since there was no Chashash that he had already paid it back, so now the Yisomim will be responsible for it. Whereas according to Rav Papa, since it's about a mitzvah and the Yisomim are not bar mitzvah, so then it's they're not going to have to pay it back. Inami, or another Nafkamina between them, is Deshamtu Umes Beshamte, that Bezdin put him in a Shamta, they put him in a cherim for failing to pay back his loan, and he died, the Lova died while he was still in Shamta. So we're pretty confident that he didn't pay it back. Had he paid it back, meaning that he was not sorry atvase, he didn't give him bundles of money to cover the loan, otherwise Bezin would not have put him in a Shamta, and he would not have died in that Shamta. The Ritva says, I got another nafkamina. What if the Lova dies during the Zman Halva, before the Zman Piron came up? We had said that there's a Chazaka in Adam Pereya B'toch Zmano. So according to Rav Huna, that the reason for the Ptor is because of a Chashash that maybe he paid it back. The Yisomim should have to pay over here because he for sure didn't pay it back. And according to Rav Papa, that it's only a mitzvah. The Yisomim are not chayiv in that mitzvah. So that might be a third nafkamina between the two opinions over here. So Gemara says, okay, good. So how do we pask it? Now I know that not only is it a machlokas why the Yisomim don't have to pay it back, but now I see that there's a nafkamina in that machlokas as to why the Yisomim don't have to pay it back. So what do we pask it? So Shalchum Mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael the following halacha, Shamtu Umeis B'Shamte, that if they put the guy in a nidui, in a Shamta, and he died while he was in the Shamta, it's important to realize that him dying within the Shamta is not viewed as a coincidence. Right? When a person is in a nidui, a shamta, or a cherim, fundamentally it's a curse that he should die. That's what it is. That's what a nidui, shamta, and a cherim are. That until he corrects his behavior, he has a curse on him that he should die. So when he's meis b'shamta, it's like, oh, okay, so it worked, right? So hilchsa k'Rav Huna Ben Rav Shua. And the halacha is like Rav Huna Ben Rav Shua, that the yorshim are then going to have to pay. And we don't say, nah, it's only a mitzvah, and they're katan, and they're not chayiv in mitzvahs. The yorshim are chayiv to pay the Malva, even if the Arev had paid on their behalf, so then they have to pay the Arev, and if he hadn't paid on their behalf, then they would pay the Malva directly. So that's what we paskin. So the Gemara asks on Rav Papa, Meisvei, Arev shayishtar chov yotzi mitachas yado, an Arev who has a shtar chov and he tainos that he paid the chov to the Malva, and he received the shtar chov back from the Malva as a raya that he had paid it, and now he's tovea the Yisomim that they should reimburse him for the fact that he had paid up their chov. Eino govi, cannot collect from them because we're choshesh that maybe the Malva dropped the shtar chov and the Arev just found it, but the Arev did not actually lay out any money. Vim kosovbo, but if the shtar chov says in the Malva's handwriting, hiskabalti mimcha, I've received the money of the chov, then govi, then the Arev can go and collect from the Yisomim. So bishlam, the Rav Huna Ben Rav Shua, mishkach shchayv moda. This price, it makes a lot lot of sense according to Rav Yehoshua. You could find that this din would make sense if the guy is moda that he hadn't paid up the chov, and the yorshim were chayiv to pay the malva, since the arif has a raya that he paid the chov for them, so he has to pay. El Rav Papa, but according to Rav Papa, that the yisomim are never going to have to pay because they're simply not bar mitzvah kasha. So why, when the malva says that, oh, I got the money from the arif, why then would the yisomim have to pay back the arif? According to Rav Papa, the whole reason the yisomim don't have to pay back is because they're not bar mitzvah. So I don't care if the arif paid back. It's not about a mitzius. Did he pay back? Did he not pay back? It's about they're not bar mitzvah, so they're simply not chayiv in this mitzvah. So it says more shiny awesome lahachi tarach mekas of leis kabalti. No, in the case where the malva writes that it was already paid up, that's why the malva wrote on the shtar that he received the money in order to make it that the Arev is like the Malva, that the Shtarchov that's written to a Malva belongs to him, right? That had previously belonged to the Malva now belongs to the Arev. And by a Halva'a Bishtar of Papa's Moda, the Yisomim do have to pay, because that's not just a mitzvah, that's a Chiv Mamon. So whenever there's a Chiv Mamon, there's a Chov Mamon on the Yisomim, so that's not just a mitzvah that you have to do a Prius Balchov mitzvah, that's that there's an actual debt, there's an actual loan, there's something that there's an actual Dine Mamonis thing. So that they are on the hook for. So that's what this Kabalti does. It transfers the Shtarchov to the Arev so that the Arev can now use it to collect. Okay, so the Gemara discusses, there was a guy who became an Arev for a person who had borrowed money from an Ovid Chavim. So the Malva was an Ovid Chavim, the Lova was a Jew, and the Lova died before ever paying back the Chov that he owed to the Ovid Chavim. So the Arev, the Pare Lovid Chavim, the Arev went and he paid the Ovid Chavim the debt of his deceased friends, of his deceased friend, Mikami bin Eliasmi, before he was ever to Tovea the Yisomim, that they should pay the Chov. So I'm later, Mordechai the Ravashi, Hachi Amar Avimi Mehagronia, Mishmei de Rava, Rav Avimi Mehagronia, said in the name of Rava, Afilu Lamandi Amar, even according to Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua, who holds Cheshin on Litzrari, that by a regular Lova that dies, we have to be Choshish, that maybe prior to his death, he gave some money to the Malva as payment, so that the Arev won't be responsible, and the Arev shouldn't have paid up this money. And if he did pay it, he cannot ask the Yisomim for money because he had no business paying it, because we're choshesh that the Lova himself took care of it. Hani mili Yisrael. We're only choshesh that the Lova himself took care of it if the guy that he owed the money to was a Jew. And the Lova knew that if he gives him money, he's not going to go collect from the Arev, and he did it in order to save the Arev, meaning someone was kind enough to co-sign a loan for him, so he wanted to make sure not to put him in a difficult spot. So before he died, he paid back, he's going to pay back the person he owes money to. Avalovid Chavim, but if the person he owes money to is Novid Chavim, given the Basar Arva Azil, since even if you give him money, he's still going to go to the Arev Shalok Adin to try to see if he could collect the second time. We're not choshesh that the Lova is going to give money to this Malva before he dies. We don't think that the Lova would have given money to the Malva before he dies in order to protect the Arev, because it will not protect the Arev. He's going to go straight, he's going to go to collect from the Arev anyway. So Amalei Rav Ashi said to Rav Mordechai, Adarabba, I would have said the opposite, that Afil Man Diomar, Lo Cheshin Litzrari, even Rav Papa, who does not think a Lova would give money to a Malva before he dies, Hani Mili Yisrael, that's only if it's a Jewish Malva. Avlo V'chavim, Kivin De Dainin Basar Arva Azli, since in the Dinim of the Ovdi K'chavim, they go to the Arev, even if the Lova has no Chasim, they go straight to the Arev, Ilav Dafis, sorry, Me'akar, Lav Makabalei, if the Lova would not have given some money to the Malva up front, no one would ever agree to be the Arev, because when you're agreeing to be an Arev in Dinim of the Chavim, you're agreeing to that even if the Lova has money, that you're going to have to pay. So you're only going to agree to be an Arev if he gives some sort of mashkon, he deposits some money with the Malva. So that's where there's more of a concern that he had given money. So we had said in the Mishnah, that if there's a guy who's an Arev for a woman's ksuba, and the husband divorces his wife, so the husband has to take a neder hana'a that he's never going to remarry, or he's never going to get hana'a from her again, because we're choshesh that he's divorcing his wife because he knows he's penniless. The wife is then going to collect the ksuba money from the Arev, then they'll get remarried and they'll be able to enjoy the ksuba money. So Moshe Bar Atzri, Arvut Ksubasa Dekal Sehava. Moshe Bar Atzri was an Arev for his daughter-in-law's ksuba. His son got married, his son didn't have any money. So the father co-signed on the ksuba. So Rav Huna Berei, Rav Huna his son, who we became an Arif for Tzur Midrabanan Hava, was a Talmud Chacham. So Loshon Tzur Midrabanan means a young Talmud Chacham. Rashi writes in Maseches Tainis, it means a young, sharp Talmud Chacham. Otherwise, we call him Ahume Rabanan. Tzur Midrabanan is someone under the age of 35. So he's a young Talmud Chacham, who's a Chikle Milsei, and he didn't have any money. So Amar Abaye, Leka Denezel, Denas Ve'etzel Rav Huna, isn't there anyone that can just go give Rav Huna some simple advice, that he should go divorce his wife, and then she'll go collect the ksuba from his father, and then he can remarry her, and they'll have all that money. So Amalei Rava, I don't know how families worked back then, you know, like he couldn't ask for a loan, or so, but so Amalei Rava, Rava said to Abaye, but it says in the Mishnah that if you're going to divorce her, you have to take a neder hana, so that just so that you can't pull off this trick. Amalei Abaye, Atu called the Megarish, Bebedina Megarish. That's only if you get divorced in Beis, and they'll force you to take a neder hana. So have someone write up again and divorce without a basis, and then you won't have to take the neder hana. The sofa glory milson, in the end it became clear to Cohen who that he was a Cohen, so he can't do it anyway, because if he divorced his wife, he's never allowed to remarry her. So Rabbi, Haina Damrian, she basar anya azla nyusa. Oh, that's what people say. You know, those who are destined to be poverty stricken are always going to be poverty stricken. That's just his mazel, that the eitzah that we'd have for anybody else doesn't apply to him because he happens to be a Cohen. So it says Gemara, but really, otherwise Abai would have advised to do such a thing. Does Abai really say that we should give such an eitzah? Abai says, what is the most deceitful kind of rasha? Like a smart, brilliant rishos. Someone who gives a matan to someone else, and after, and he says that after he dies, the banim are not going to be yorish the matana. It will go to somebody else. According to Mishum Umliel, if the first guy sells it, the mechir is chal legamri, and even after he dies, the person who nosin wanted to give it to will not be zochet, it will stay in the hands of the lokeach. So even though the makabel is allowed to do that, someone who advises him to do that, it's called a rasha arum, because the makabel doesn't think on his own to do such a thing. It's only because of your eitzah that you're causing somebody else to lose out. So if you're being mevatel the das of the nosin matana, that's a terribly evil thing to do. So if here also you're giving eitzah to Rav Huna to be megarish his wife in order to collect the ksuba from his father, you're causing a hefset to the father by giving such an eitzah. So that's a terrible thing to do. He wouldn't have thought of that on his own. So answer Gemara, b'no shayni v'tzur mirabban shayni. Two differences. First of all, it's his son. So you could be miyayitz him to do this in order to get money from his father. And second of all, he's Talmud Chacham, who doesn't make a lot of money. So you're allowed to tell him to do this because even though someone else is going to lose out, because over here it's considered to be something that people generally would be, it's a greater need and something that people would generally be happier to support. They're happier to support their children. They're happy to support somebody to chamim. So even though it's going to be a loss to the father, he's willing to enter into an arvus agreement, knowing that this is that this is a risk. So says Marva Ariv, v'kaimel an Ariv d'ksuba lo mishtabed. But wait a second, Rav Huna's father was an Ariv on the chiv of the ksuba, and we have a halacha that an Ariv of a ksuba is not mishtabed, that there is no shibud for an Ariv of a ksuba. Now it sounds against Rav Mishum Amliel in our Mishnah, because Rav Shmuel and our Mishnah required you to take this neder hana'ah because the assumption is that there is a shibud on an ariv of a ksuba. But so Tosfos raises that question. But we'll explain where this is coming from. So says Gemara, answers Gemara, Kablan Hava. You're right. A regular Ariv on the Ksuba, there's no Shibud that's created. This guy was not a regular Ariv on the Ksuba. The father over here was an Ariv Kablan. And an Ariv Kablan on the Ksuba does have a Shibud. So Hani Chalamandi Amr Kablan de Ksuba Alfagav de Lasse Nichsi the Baal, Mishtabet Shapir. I understand very well if you assume that a Kablan of a Ksuba, even though the Baal doesn't have any of his own Nuchasim, the Kablan becomes Mishubad. So then it makes sense that the father's going to have to pay up. El Mandi Amr Yisle Mishtabet Ilasle Lo Mishtabet, Maik. But if you hold that even a kablan on a ksuba only becomes meshubad if the baal has nechasim, and over here the baal didn't have any nechasim, he was a tzur mirabban, he was the chikle milsa, he was this impoverished talmud chacham, he didn't have anything. So then where's the shibud? So you may say mahava havalevi ishtaduf, maybe he had nechasim at the time that he got married, but then all his investments went south, his fields got flooded and got ruined or whatever. Or it could be a regular arif kablan on on Ksuba is not Meshabit himself, but a father to a son is, to Itmar, because we learned that there are three Chiluke Dinim by Arvos and Kablanos for Balchov and Ksuba Sisha. Number one, Ariv to Ksuba Divrei Kolo Meshtabit, a regular Ariv on Ksuba, there's no Shibud. Number two, Kablan to Balchov Divrei Kolo Meshtabit, a Kablan on a Balchov, for sure there is a Shibud. And number three, Kablan to Ksuba, Ariv to Balchov, Pligi, a Kablan on a Ksuba, and Ariv Balchov is a Machlokas. Marsav Yisle Nichse Lov Meshtabit, Lasse Lov Meshtabit, Umarsav Benisle Benisle Meshtabit. That one opinion holds that whether the Lova has money or doesn't, there's going to be a Shibud. But the first opinion held that only if the Lova has money is there a Shibud. Vihilchasan, we paskin. Arev bein isle bein lesle mishtabed bar me arev deksuba. Regular arev there's a shibud unless it's an arev on a ksuba. The afal gav the isle lebal lo mishtabed. That even if the bal has karkaos, there is no shibud. My taima, what's the reason for that? Because mitzvah da avid, the arev is mekayev a mitzvah by becoming an arev on the ksuba, so that the woman will want to get married. Velo midich chasra. But the woman is not losing out anything. She's not giving anything up. She's just getting married. So he's not willing to create a shibud where he's going to have to lose money when it's not costing somebody else. Meaning it's not like the woman is losing money, she's just not gaining the money, and therefore there's not going to be a shibud when you have an arev on a ksuba. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Huna. Have a great day, everybody.